and this is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. After a summer of political debates, TV ads, media interviews, and lots of walking main streets and knocking on doors, the sides are set for this fall's New Hampshire elections. The governor's race will be between Republican Ovid Lamontagne and Democrat Maggie Hassan. Last night, in his victory speech, Lamontagne continued his focus on jobs, saying that in recent years, New Hampshire's economy had been shaken to its core.
New Hampshire's lost tens of thousands of jobs, and our own economy has been shaken to its core. I refuse to stand by and allow New Hampshire to be part of the national decline. Economic recovery and job creation begin right here at home and require strong, principle-tested, and experienced leadership in the governor's office, and I am ready to provide that leadership as your next governor and to restore the New Hampshire advantage.
Lamontagne won by a large margin over his chief rival, Kevin Smith, who had run an energetic campaign. But as the lesser-known and less well-funded candidate, Smith had an uphill battle from the start. He conceded defeat relatively early in the night and, like Lamontagne, said the focus on economic matters should continue.
While our physical campaign ends tonight, the campaign of ideas and solutions to make New Hampshire into the most economically competitive state in the country is one that cannot and should not leave our political discourse anytime soon. The stakes are too high, and not to mention the current and future generations are counting on us to meet the toughest challenges currently before us.
But while the Republican candidate steered clear of hot-button social issues like abortion or gay marriage, the Democratic victor in the governor's race, Maggie Hassan, made it clear she'll include them in her campaign. Hassan repeatedly criticized what she called the Tea Party way, saying it doesn't fit with core New Hampshire values.
Well, I believe live free or die means that workers should have the right to organize, all loving couples should have the right to marry, and that women should be able to make our own health care decisions. That's live free or die. That's what I will fight for.
Hassan defeated her chief rival, former State Senator Jackie Cilley, by a wide margin. Cilley had not taken New Hampshire's famous anti-tax pledge, and in her concession speech, she said a conversation on taxes should continue. But Cilley also said it's now time for Democrats to come together.
We need to hold that corner office. We need to elect common sense, rational individuals. We need a Democratic slate going into the fall, and we are going to stand... We are going to stand shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to get our team over the finish line.
Today in The Exchange, we wrap up what happened last night and look ahead to the next 8 weeks of campaigning. And let's hear from you this hour. What's your reaction to the results in the gubernatorial primaries? Were there down-ticket races that you were following that you think were also important? Join us with a phone call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests for the hour. Dante Scala is here, Associate Professor of Political Science, Faculty Fellow at UNH's Carsey Institute. You can follow him on Twitter at GraniteProf. And Dante, good to see you. We were here till about 10:30 last night. It's nice to see you again.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Dean Spiliotis, Civic Scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, thank you for your help last night, and thanks for being here this morning as well.
Sure. Good morning, Laura.
Well, gentlemen, let's talk about the governor's race. First, are the results, Dean, what you expected?
Pretty much at the gubernatorial level, absolutely. I think, as I said last night, that Ovid Lamontagne came into this race. He had all of his ducks in a row, finally, in terms of fundraising, in terms of support from party elites, in terms of support from grassroots and the Tea Party movement. And I think he had a sort of a good sense of what his message would be this time around in terms of leadership. Maggie Hassan, as I said last night, took a calculated risk, portraying herself as the kind of the next version of John Lynch, running more moderately, talking about taking the pledge, not being willing to have a discussion about a broad-based sale or income tax. I think for a brief period there during the primary, they thought maybe they had kind of, you know, gotten ahead of themselves a bit, because Jackie Sillis seemed to be getting some grassroots energy on her refusal to take the pledge. But in the end, I think this is pretty much what we expected. You know, two pretty experienced political individuals facing off.
What do you think, Dante?
Yeah, I mean, Jackie Sillis, for the amount of money that she was able to raise, which wasn't nearly what Maggie Hassan raised, I mean, she had a pretty good showing. She got about 4 out of 10 votes in the Democratic primary last night. But I think Maggie Hassan proved a lot of her doubters wrong last night. I mean, the storyline over the past couple weeks for those who were skeptical about Hassan's campaign was, look, she could be another victim of pledge politics. Progressives want to have a different sort of conversation about the revenue and broad-based taxes. She's spent too much money too early. There's just been too much waste. She's running on empty. And yet when it counted, her organization was there to get out the vote. And in a September primary, when not a lot of people are paying attention, let alone going to the polls, it's about getting out the vote. And in Hillsborough and Rockingham counties last night, which is where a lot of the votes are, she got those votes out and in large numbers swept both Manchester and Portsmouth. When you can win both those cities handily and throw in Nashua as well, a Democrat's going to be in good shape in a primary.
Now, why is that important when you can sweep both Portsmouth and Manchester? Give us an idea of the political character of these cities and why that matters.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester, I mean, historically has been a center of the Democratic Party, but also seen as a center of more moderate to even conservative Democrats, and really a home of the Democratic establishment, which was behind Maggie Hassan. Jackie Sillis was very much kind of the outsider, the maverick in this whole race. Now, the question was the establishment going to have the muscle, so to speak, to get out the vote and make sure their candidate won? And the answer to that was yes. The establishment, the Hassan campaign, did what they needed to do. Portsmouth, very city on the seacoast, very liberal. And so the hypothesis, so to speak, how does Jackie Sillis win? She needs to do well in places like Portsmouth where anti-pledge politics might have more leverage among Democratic voters. And yet, Hassan sweeps all the wards of Portsmouth and wins easily.
Yeah, and talking to anecdotally to a number of Democratic voters yesterday, some of whom voted for Maggie Hassan, you know, there's a real concern that if the state house goes over to a Republican, you have this Republican legislature that's been very active, that, you know, even though John Lynch has been overridden a number of times, he has been able to veto some legislation. So there's a real concern among Democrats about losing that seat. So you ended up with this trade-off between voters who wanted to have a discussion about tax fairness and the tax burden, but who were also very concerned about whether Jackie would be viable in a general election. And in the end, my sense from talking to them anecdotally is they went with the electability argument. They just think that, you know, New Hampshire is much more comfortable with kind of a Democratic governor who is more in kind of the Gene Shaheen, John Lynch mold in terms of positioning. There may be a debate about whether Maggie was always that person, but she is in this election cycle. And so they went with what they thought was a more electable candidate. But there was this undercurrent, as Dante said, among Democratic primary voters. They really want to get back to having a conversation about taxes. But it's a very difficult case to make in the general election in the state, given the political culture.
Dante, jump back in.
Yeah. NHPR reporter Josh Rogers made a good point last night, was that this wasn't, strictly speaking, an election that was all about whether or not to take the pledge, or at least it wasn't all about the income tax the way it was, say, a decade ago when Mark Fernald was running for the nomination of his party, which he eventually won in 2002. Jackie Sillis said, no, I'm not taking the pledge. I want to have a conversation. But I'm not necessarily for an income tax. So perhaps, you know, if you think of it, of pledge politics as a wedge issue in the Democratic primary electorate that wedges off progressives from more moderate to conservative, quote unquote, Lynch Democrats, maybe the wedge just wasn't as sharp as it could be. It's also the case that Jackie Sillis didn't have the money and the organization to reach out to all the corners of the state that Maggie Hassan clearly had last night, from the Upper Valley down to Portsmouth.
But I also think, just real briefly, that and I've said this all along, that I understand Jackie's kind of nuanced argument about having a conversation, but that kind of argument is going to be lost in a general election. She might as well be in favor of an income tax, because that's how it's going to be portrayed. It's a fine argument to make among Democratic activists, but that kind of argument just gets lost in a general election. I think she tried to kind of have it both ways.
One more question about the Democrats, and then I want to ask you both about the Republicans as well. And Dante, to you, there was a third candidate in this Democratic primary, Bill Kennedy, relatively unknown, a businessman from Danbury, had a pretty good showing in the Democratic debates and ended up with about 8% of the Democratic vote. He was unabashedly in favor of an income tax. He said so right up front. There wasn't any confusing language about a conversation. He said, "I want an income tax." Did he siphon off votes from Jackie Sillie?
It's certainly plausible. I mean,
8% is respectable.
It is, especially for someone who spent very little money and so forth. It's plausible. I think what we have to do is look to more detailed information about the town-by-town data before we can make any kind of guess. You know, it could well be that, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why voters vote for candidates, especially in a low-information environment such as a primary where everyone's got a D next to their name. I mean, having the name Kennedy and running in a New England state, all in all, isn't such a bad thing. So maybe, you know, there could have been a couple of different factors that might have brought Kennedy to where he was. Plus, as you said, he had a good debate performance. If you watched nothing, heard nothing except for that debate, you might say, hey, this is a plausible candidate.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Kennedy's sort of – he has said himself he was kind of learning on the job. He doesn't have political experience, so it was a learning process for him. I think he said himself that he would have done some things differently if he understood how to build, get endorsements and build an organization, et cetera. We may be seeing him again in the future, perhaps a run for something in the state legislature or some other office. But, you know, 8% for a first crack at this is not so bad.
All right. Well, in a couple minutes, we will turn our attentions to what happened on the Republican side and look at some of the arguments that the victors, Maggie Hassan and Ovid Lamontagne, made, giving us a sense of where they are planning to take this in the general election. We'll also talk about some of the down-ticket races in a couple minutes. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Today in the Exchange, we're wrapping up the results from last night, looking ahead to the next 8 weeks of general election campaigns. Let's hear from you. We want your thoughts, reactions to the gubernatorial primary results and some of the down-ticket races that you were tracking. Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page, and we'll be right back.
This is NHPR 1019. Good morning. And more on the results of last night's state primary elections on The Exchange. Then at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show, national implications of the Chicago's teacher strike. We're now in the final push in the governor's race, as well as the races for New Hampshire's two congressional seats. Tune in to NHPR next week to hear live debates with the candidates in those races. Hear them on The Exchange at 9 a.m. and again at 8 p.m. And you can track all of our election coverage at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from Collins Dentistry for Children, treating the dental needs of infants through teens in southern New Hampshire, with locations in Nashua and Pelham. Details at collinsdentistry.com. And Antioch University New England, educating practitioner scholars with their doctoral program in clinical psychology, antiochne.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the results of yesterday's primary election in New Hampshire. Who won, who lost, why, and where these campaigns go from here. We invite you to join us with your thoughts, questions, and reactions. 1-800-892-6477, or send a short email to exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests in in studio, Dante Scala, Associate Professor of Political Science at UNH, and Dean Spiliotis, Civic Scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University. And gentlemen, let's talk now about the Republican side. Again, Ovid LaMontagne easily beat Kevin Smith. Dante Scala, was that was the expected result, as you said before. But Mr. Smith ran, by most accounts, a good campaign.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think he got points among Republican elites for running an ideas-based campaign. When he was toe-to-toe with the more experienced candidate, he held his own. He showed his expertise and knowledge as a policy wonk or advocate. You know, he had worked, of course, as the head of the conservative advocacy group Cornerstone Action. He put all that to good use. And I imagine that Republicans looking at him versus the more experienced LaMontagne might have said, here's a young man who has some promise. But at the same time, they decided it wasn't the time for him right now. It was LaMontagne's time, which is remarkable given how long LaMontagne's been out of Republican politics.
Well, and Kevin Smith tried to make Mr. LaMontagne's past three political defeats, one for governor, one for Congress, and one for U.S. Senate, Dean, tried to make those an issue, saying, hey, you know, he hasn't won anything yet. But Mr. LaMontagne didn't seem taken down by that argument. He won with, gosh, almost two-thirds of the vote, I think.
Right. You know, he was basically cashing in on all the goodwill and the success he had in almost beating Kelly Ayotte in the primary for U.S. Senate. You know, Kevin Smith was an interesting case here because I think a lot of people didn't realize that he's actually worked in state government. He's been a state legislator. They mainly know him as a conservative advocate from Cornerstone. So the challenge for him was to kind of recast himself as a politician, as a policymaker rather than as an activist. I think he accomplished a good chunk of that. He got a long way there. He's not quite there yet. I think, as Dante said, he was smart in not trying to take Ovid down by dragging him through the mud, that it's not really his time yet, and we'll probably hear more from him in the future. But this, for me, was not a big surprise. I mean, I think Ovid has moved quite effectively. Even think about the presidential primary, hosting all the Republican candidates. I mean, he really kind of positioned himself after that near defeat of Kelly Ayotte as kind of within New Hampshire being at the center of the party. So this didn't surprise me.
Again, our number for you to join us with your questions and comments on the results from last night's primaries is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post your comments on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, let's talk then about how these two victors now, Maggie Hassan for the Democrats and Ovid LaMontagne for the Republicans, position themselves going forward. And Dean, we were listening to the speeches last night. How would you say Ovid LaMontagne is presenting himself in that victory speech, which really served as a kickoff for his fall campaign?
I think a key thing is going to be a question all about what is the New Hampshire advantage? And Ovid LaMontagne is making the case that New Hampshire has lost its edge and lost its advantage, and that under 8 years of Governor John Lynch, that the state has slipped and that it's become part of the national decline in the economy and so forth. And the New Hampshire advantage to LaMontagne is the traditional Republican view of it. You know, we need lower taxes, we need less regulation, fewer regulations, et cetera. And that's going to be the case that's made. And also, he's going to try to capitalize on 2010 and talk about Obamacare and talk about an encroaching federal government. And that's going to be the kind of conservative part of this. It's going to be a campaign that dwells on fiscal issues and the size and scope of government. LaMontagne has really stayed away from social issues. He's anti-abortion. He's anti-gay marriage. He's pro-life Catholic. But he stayed away from a lot of that. He's focused on issues that truly energized the Republicans in 2010 and got them over the top.
Dean?
Yeah. And you can do that in a Republican primary because no one's going to push you on the socially conservative issues. You know, absolutely, Ovid's going to make this about Maggie being kind of a big government Democrat. They're going to bring in the Barack Obama, you didn't build it comment, that this is part of a larger worldview of Democrats of the role of government and oversized government. Even talked about Maggie Hassan's health care plan as a Maggie care. So, I think Dante is right on. Not going to want to talk about the social issues. It's going to be about tax and spending and Democrats doing a lot of both.
Well, and joining us now for more on how these candidates go from here on out is Wayne McDonald. He is chair of the New Hampshire Republican State Committee after serving 8 years as vice chair. And Wayne McDonald, I'm sure it was a late night. Thank you for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've been talking about Over the Montane's campaign, as you no doubt heard, and he gets another crack at being governor. The last time around, he ran against Jean Shaheen in the mid-90s. She painted him as too extreme for New Hampshire. Sounds like, judging from the speeches last night, Wayne, that Maggie Hassan will do the same thing. How will Mr. LaMontagne and the party respond to this charge that Democrats will throw, which is these guys are too extreme, out of touch for New Hampshire?
Well, the fact is that Republicans have demonstrated over the last 2 years especially, but throughout the last several decades, how we are the party of fiscal responsibility. We've led the charge on the pledge, which I know has angered some. Some people think it's an anachronism, but we've championed the whole concept of the pledge, no sales tax, no income tax, that is something that is just not right for New Hampshire. Now, these last 2 years especially, we've emphasized the importance of reining in spending, living within our means. When the Republicans took over the legislature in December of 2010, we had a projected deficit of $800 million at least. Speaker O'Brien and Senator Bragdon and their caucuses really led the way to addressing that. And, Governor gubernatorial candidate LaMontagne.
Wishful thinking there.
But Ovid will lead the charge, as will all of us in the party, about the fact that this election is about jobs and the economy. Both are in dire need to improve on both of them. The Obama administration, 8% plus unemployment rate.
Although lower here in New Hampshire. Much lower.
It's lower here in New Hampshire, but again, a lot of people have given up looking. Even here in New Hampshire, it's higher than we're used to here in New Hampshire, and we're concerned about the national economy, which does affect us here. So I think it was Professor Scala speaking earlier. It has been 8 years of drift under John Lynch. We need a governor who's going to control spending. John Lynch hasn't done it. 24% when his party controlled the legislature. So we're going to be talking about that a lot.
And Wayne, Republicans, as you have and as Mr. LaMontagne did last night, will be focusing on the fiscal issues, on jobs, on the economy. Democrats will say, hey, look, these Republican candidates are out of step with New Hampshire values on abortion, on gay marriage, on some of the other social issues. So even though you guys don't want to bring that up, they're going to bring it up. How will you respond to that?
Well, we're not going to hide from our positions. The fact is that our Republican platform does support the pro-life position. Our Republican platform does support traditional marriage. But those are not the top issues in this election. And we'll be happy to talk about all the issues, because all the issues are important. But the two most important issues are jobs and the economy. And that's what we're going to be talking about, because that's what the voters are concerned about.
Do you expect your candidates to have trouble, Wayne, being heard above the noise of the presidential campaign? I'm wondering how both Republican and Democratic candidates here in New Hampshire get heard, given all the attention that we're getting from the presidential campaigns.
Well, I think the fact that it's an open race, the first open race for governor, really, since 2002, when Governor Shaheen didn't run, 2004, when Governor Lynch ran, of course, it was not an open race. He was running against an incumbent governor. Totally open races for governor are not super common, and I think that is going to attract a lot of attention. Governor Lynch has been around for so long and is so well known. The fact that he's leaving, I think that is going to add to the amount of attention, and not just the fact that it's open race, but the reason that it's an open race, his retirement, and the fact that Ovid and Maggie are going to really be campaigning aggressively. They'll have people in, to include the nominees of the national parties themselves, campaigning with them. So I think our candidates for governor will get their share of attention.
Yeah, I wonder also if it helps in a way. You get national groups interested because we're a battleground state, giving these gubernatorial campaigns money. And as you said, we may see some campaigns with Maggie Hassan and Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and Over the Montane.
Absolutely. I would expect that to be the case.
All right. Wayne, thanks a lot for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Wayne McDonald, chair of the New Hampshire Republican State Committee. Our number for you to join us on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email at exchange@nhpr.org. We're talking about last night's gubernatorial primaries. And a little bit later, we'll talk about some of the down-ticket races that caught attention for executive council and state senate, state rep. The number for you to join us right now is 1-800-892-6477. With us now on the line is Ray Buckley, chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party and a former state representative from Manchester. And Ray, we appreciate your time, too. Again, a big night for everybody.
It was a great night to be a New Hampshire Democrat.
Well, and Maggie Hassan, who took the anti-tax pledge, is your gubernatorial candidate. Are you relieved you won't have to fight this battle this time around, Ray?
Well, I think that we would have had a great shot at Ovid LaMontagne, no matter who was our nominee. But this allows us to make Ovid's record. His record as the chair of the State Board of Education back in the 1990s. His plan, the real, it's a very stark choice for the people of New Hampshire. And so by making this the real choice there, it makes it very clearer and more understandable for the people of New Hampshire that Ovid LaMontagne stands with the Tea Party and Maggie Hassan stands with New Hampshire.
Well, and we heard from Wayne McDonald just a minute ago saying, look, you know, people know where we stand on the social issues, but their absolute number one focus is jobs and the economy. So we're going to talk about that. If Democrats do what Maggie Hassan did last night in her speech and continue to sort of pound the Tea Party, the Ovid LaMontagne is out of touch on the social issues, does she seem out of touch with what voters really want to talk about?
Well, if there's anyone that's out of touch, Bill O'Brien and that they brought forward here in Concord. The reality is that Bill O'Brien and the Republican Tea Party majority at the State House haven't done anything for jobs and the economy. They've been entirely focused on the social agenda. So we're not going to let Ovid LaMontagne get away with trying to claim that that's really what their true agenda is. We know what their true agenda is. The true agenda is to shut down Planned Parenthood. True agenda is to make sure that even in the case of incest and rape, that abortion is completely not possible in the state of New Hampshire, to end marriage equality. Their agenda is a social agenda. That's what drove Ovid LaMontagne to get involved in politics in the 1990s, and that's why he's in politics today. He's from Manchester. I know him. He knows me. We know exactly where we're coming from. Ovid was too extreme for the people of New Hampshire in 1996, and he sure as heck is too extreme for the people of New Hampshire in 2012.
Well, how much will concerns over the national economy and the economy here in New Hampshire, and we're going to hear lots of Republicans, both at the state level and the national level, blaming President Obama for the sluggish recovery, how much does that drag down your Democratic candidates?
Well, I think that's very clear. People of New Hampshire and the people of the country understand that this is a Republican-created situation. The Republicans in Concord, the Republicans in Washington, namely aided by people like Ginta and Bass, are holding up the jobs bill. More than a million jobs would be created right away if Ginta and Bass would stop trying to hold up the president's jobs legislation that's been in hold now for nearly a year now. So the reality is that the Democrats, the president, has had 30 straight months now of increases in jobs. When he took over, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month across the country. So I think that the people out there are mature enough. They understand. They know that it's rhetoric on the Tea Party Republican side and that it's results on the Democratic side. And people want to continue in the John Lynch tradition here in New Hampshire, and that's what Maggie has to represent.
Well, and we'll be hearing those national arguments trickling into our state arguments for sure, as we've heard from you and Mr. McDonald. One last question for you, Ray, if I could. From what I understand, Maggie Hassan is the only female Democratic gubernatorial nominee in the country right now. How does that status affect national money that might be flowing to her campaign?
Well, I think it's going to be helpful. New Hampshire has a history of supporting female candidates for office. After November, we're going to have an entirely female congressional delegation. It's very likely that after November, we'll have a female governor and a female Senate president and female Speaker of the House. I don't think that it necessarily automatically means that they're better. Just have to look at Jan Brewer or some of those others that are out there that are women that hold up public office. But I would argue that our women here in New Hampshire are eminently qualified, and I think do a terrific job. Just one last point I do want to make is that, you know, Secretary of State Bill Gardner made a prediction yesterday of turnout, and he predicted that more Republicans were going to turn out than actually turned out. But we actually almost broke a record for the last 20 years for Democratic turnout. There's a lot of energy and a lot of excitement on the Democratic side. We surpassed the Secretary of State's turnout by almost 20,000. So
we're
very, very excited. We've got a base out there that's excited, supporting the president, supporting our candidates, and I think that we're going to have a great year. And if you look at what happened on the Republican side in the primary, a lot of moderates, when Dick Green lost, when you saw Rolichek lose that executive council district, a number of the House members out there, you got Youssef up there in the Laconia-Franklin district. This is going to be a great year for New Hampshire Democrats.
All right. We'll be talking about some of those down-ticket races in just a minute or two. And Ray Buckley, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
Ray Buckley, chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. The number for you to join us with your questions, comments, thoughts on both the results from last night and where these campaigns will go from here, where you think they should go from here, is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Or post a comment on our Facebook page. And real quickly, Dean Spiliotis, your thoughts on the comments that we got from our two party chairs, Wayne McDonald and Ray Buckley.
Very interesting. A nice preview of what I think we're going to hear over the next 8 weeks. You mentioned that you thought that kind of the rhetoric at the presidential level was going to trickle down. I think it's probably going to pour down pretty significantly. You know, it's the same kind of themes we're hearing at the national level. Republicans are going to say it's about the economy, too much spending, too much taxing. Democrats are going to say it's about an extreme right-wing socialist agenda. You just think about how many times Maggie Hassan used the phrase Tea Party Republicans in her speech. You just heard Ray Buckley, talk repeatedly about how extreme Republicans are. That's the argument that they're going to want to make. And in Republicans, as we saw even in the primary, Kevin Smith and Ovid LaMontagne were not particularly eager to talk about the social issues. As Dante said, they would acknowledge their positions and then they would move right on to talk about the economy. So absolutely, the presidential race, I think, will have a big impact in terms of turnout, which is something you always have to think about, and in terms of the kinds of themes that these candidates will be mentioning in their speeches.
Dante.
You know, and also I think that the legacy of John Lynch and the Lynch economy could be an issue here. Republicans accuse Governor Lynch of leadership drift. We need stronger leadership and so forth. I'll be curious to see what the Democrats and Hassan respond, you know, and will they say some version of, well, what part of John Lynch's time in office didn't you like? Unemployment rate significantly lower than it is nationally. And they're going to present a view of the New Hampshire advantage that's Lynchian, so to speak, and Democratic as opposed to Republican.
All right. And after a break, we'll go to our listeners, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Keep it right here.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College, New Hampshire's home for politics, online at anselm.edu/NHIOP. And from Raph Young and Pignatelli, proud to support the Kimball Jenkins School of Art and its first annual Paint the Town Art Auction in Concord on September 14th. KimballJenkins.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
NHPR is hosting a series of debates with the candidates for governor and our two congressional seats. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tune in to hear The Exchange next week to hear these debates live as the candidates discuss issues that are important to you. Visit our website for the full schedule and to submit your questions. And stay tuned to NHPR and NHPR.org for continued election coverage throughout the fall. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, 10 years after the federal No Child Left Behind education law, big changes are in store for New Hampshire. Email us your questions about this before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, the results of yesterday's primary elections here in New Hampshire. Join us with your questions, comments, reactions, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page. And Dante Scala, Dean Spiliotis, let's go to our listeners now. Renee's calling in from Laconia. Hi, Renee. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that I'm an independent, a registered independent, and I specifically went to the polls so I could vote for Maggie Hassan. And Laconia, she didn't do a lot of campaigning, but I did independent research, and she really fit with my ideals. I'm excited that she won.
So fit with your ideals in terms of taxes and social issues, Renee? Those are the two biggies for her.
Marriage equality, women's rights, and no state tax and no income tax.
All right.
Sales tax and income tax.
Renee, thanks for calling in. You know, gentlemen, we should talk about, and I'll turn to you, Dante, how independent voters might go one way or the other for Maggie Hassan or Ovid Lamontagne. Mr. Lamontagne, in his speech, also made a bid for independent voters. He said he wanted to be governor of everybody.
Yeah, certainly. And it'll be interesting to watch how both reach out to those voters, because they're probably the least likely to know much about either candidate. I mean, it's important to remember this is an open seat for governor, and neither Lamontagne nor Hassan is a household name in New Hampshire politics. I mean, Lamontagne, on the one hand, has been around politics for a long time, but he hasn't been on the ballot now for in a general election for 16 years. And Maggie Hassan, only in her state senate district in the southeast corner of the state. So independents who might be discontented with politics, unhappy with the economy, also socially moderate, perhaps fiscally conservative, like a lot of New Hampshire voters, they'll be a key group for both of them to try to get at. But they have a long way to go in 8 weeks.
Dean.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, the kind of the caricature of the independent voter in the state is fiscally conservative, socially moderate to libertarian. You know, Democrats are going to key in on that socially moderate to libertarian aspect in attacking Ovid to say he's too extreme on those issues. Republicans are going to focus on the fiscal conservatism, say that Maggie is going to be a big tax and spender like a lot of other Democrats. So it fits quite nicely with the different sides of the debate.
Let's take another call. Renee, thanks for that one. Our number here on The Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Waiting in Pembroke is Dan. Hi, Dan. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Good morning, Laura. And I'm supposed to say hi to you from Pam over at the Children's Library.
Okay.
That's my wife. Anyway, I'm struck by an odd, and I'm sure other people have thought of this. I hear I hear Romney especially saying that the economy is recovering too slow. But the bottom line there is the economy is recovering. And he's complaining that Obama hasn't gotten enough done in 3.5 years, and yet his economic plan says that it'll take him 8 years and he'll balance the budget, eliminate the debt, and everything will be fine in America. And I just find that odd that they're complaining about something being too slow, and they're going to take longer, complaining that the economy is recovering, but just recovering too slowly.
Now, you're looking at the national races. How does that trickle down, Dan, to the state races, which is what we're talking about today?
Well, it's going to mean a whole lot for us in terms of infrastructure. It's going to be a whole important conversation in terms of our schools. You know, what happens in Washington is going to affect what happens here in terms of education. Those kind of broad sweeps. I'm not a really good politician. I just am a social observer.
Yeah, and that's all right, Dan. You don't have to be. We appreciate you calling in. What do you think? Again, guys, national themes trickling down to the state races, Dante?
Yeah, and you know, Dan sounds a couple of themes that Democrats are going to be talking about, kind of the nature of the New Hampshire advantage, with which both Silly and Hassan talked about, you know, an educated workforce, having good health care, making sure that, the environment socially is something that people are comfortable with in terms of abortion, gay marriage, and so forth. And a very different conversation about the nature of the advantages there. And also, inevitably, you know, the top of the ticket how people feel about President Obama is going to have an effect down ticket, if only because of the sheer volume of noise, i.e. ads coming from the from those two candidates.
It's interesting, Dean, how candidates here in New Hampshire will discuss the economy. For sure, it's struggling nationally, not growing as quickly as people had hoped. But here in New Hampshire, we weathered the storm pretty well, and our unemployment rate isn't that bad.
Right, and I think Maggie Hassan will focus more on the New Hampshire situation rather than try to get sucked too much into the larger economic debate between Romney and Obama, because she can say, well, you know, we have a Democratic governor right now and the economy is doing better in the state as opposed to the country as a whole. So, you know, as I listened to the question, I was thinking, well, she's going to focus more on New Hampshire and try to sort of, you know, not get so caught up in the bigger picture about, you know, how is the economy improving quickly enough? And, you know, will Romney be able to do any better?
I think it's important to keep in mind that this is in 2010. I mean, this is going to be an election that probably falls somewhere between 2004, which was a very close election, and on the outside chance at 2008, which wasn't very close. But I'm guessing it's probably a little closer to 2004, which means it's not going to be a year where Republican enthusiasm far outweighs Democratic enthusiasm.
So no big sweeps this year like we've seen, no big pendulum swings.
No, if anything, I think it's more likely that we see kind of a pendulum swing back a bit. There'll be more of a regression toward the average because we see these big sweeps in off-year elections. In presidential years, and this has happened on both sides, things tend to go back toward the middle because that's where New Hampshire is, in the middle.
Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Dan, thanks for that call. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org for you to join us with your thoughts and reactions on last night's primaries and looking ahead toward November's elections. And Dean, you were tracking for us last night some of the down ticket races. There were primaries in executive council races and some state senate races and even some House races. Now, clearly, there are a lot of races there, but what were some of the themes in these down ticket races?
Yeah, well, there were a number of different themes. You know, I was watching a set of races to get a sense of, you know, is there still Tea Party energy there? Are more moderate Republicans in the state house being punished for maybe standing up against Bill O'Brien? There were some legislators who had very high profile interactions with him where they tangled with him. And, you know, my sense coming away is that it's a bit of a mixed bag. I know Ray Buckley focused mainly on the Tea Party folks who won. In those races where there was a Tea Party victory, the one that a lot of people are talking about is District 7, which is the state senate for Franconia, Franklin and Laconia. Joss Youssef, who billed himself as a constitutional conservative, a newcomer to politics, appears to have narrowly defeated Bill Grimm. And there were some other races as well where the Tea Partier or the Tea Party candidate you know, sort of edged out the more moderate Republican. But I was tracking in the House, there were five races where incumbent Republicans who were either critical of Bill O'Brien or targeted as being too moderate were primary, were basically had to try to stay in their seats. Of those five, four of them are moving on to the general election. Only Tony Saltani in Epsom, who frequently tangled with O'Brien, came in third. So he's out. But four out of the five are now moving on to the general election. So it really
so
is
moderate Republicans won in four out of five of these races?
Well, or they did well enough because there's usually two seats. So you had to finish first or second. So in four of those five races where people had been targeted or had been viewed as kind of antagonists to O'Brien, they're moving on to the general election. So only one loss there. But you have had these other, you know, fairly high-profile races in which, you know, I mentioned the Joss Youssef District 6, which is Rochester, Gilmanton in the state Senate. Sam Cataldo, who appears to have beaten Dick Green, who had described himself as a Lynch Republican. However, Peter Bragdon, Senate president, won in his primary against David Dwyer, who was more conservative. District 17, which is sort of the Raymond area in the Senate, a more conservative John Regan appears to have defeated Howard Pearl, who was a more moderate farmer from Loudoun. So, you know, as I look at the races as a whole, in some of these high-profile races, the Tea Party candidate appears to have won, but we're talking very close. You know, these are small numbers of votes. And then on top of that, you layer in the House races in which, you know, a number of the people who had been targeted at least are going to make it to the general election. So I see it as kind of a mixed bag with maybe a slight edge towards the Tea Party energy in this case.
Yeah, I mean, a key question going forward, I mean, regardless of what happens in the governor's office is, you know, we have a Republican legislature that's 3-1 Republican. And again, there should be some balance kind of or swing back toward the mean, so to speak, that, you know, New Hampshire is not a state that's 3-1 Republican. And so
those are the majorities of the last election in the legislature.
Exactly. Yeah. So the legislature next time around, assuming there's more or less kind of an even turnout of Democrats and Republicans in terms of their various bases, the legislature is going to be a lot closer to even, that is 200-200, let's say, in the state house than it is right now. So then the question becomes, you know, if it's a narrow Republican majority, let's say, that remains after the 2012 elections, who will those Republicans be? Will they be a diverse group of people who might, say, make alliances with Democrats, moderate Democrats, or will they be very uniform in terms of their ideology so that even if they're a small majority, they'll hang together? That's a key question for, say, leadership like O'Brien. If Speaker O'Brien is going to have the strength he had last time with a narrower majority, he's going to need everyone to be on the same page in a way this time. He has some wiggle room because he had so many Republicans on his side.
Yeah, well, will he even make it, first of all, out of the general to the general election? But Dean Spiliotis, even if he does, will he be reelected Speaker? We don't know.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien actually did. He was, yeah, again, you had to be in the top two, and he won with around 50%.
Yeah,
or
he
over
did
50%
well last night. Yeah.
So that's the new Boston Mount Vernon area. So, I think Dante's absolutely right. My sense here, and I agree with Dante, is that you probably won't have that 3-1 majority anymore. That there will be some kind of regression to the mean, and it is a question of you know, you've got some moderates who made it through their primaries and may win the general election. You've got some of these new Tea Party folks who look like they're going to win narrow victories. You know, the reality is all this is going to tie into turnout at the presidential election, because even though we don't have straight ticket voting in the state anymore, in presidential elections, you know, you tend to kind of look down the ballot, and if you're a Democrat, you typically vote for the Democrats. If you're Republican, you typically vote for the Republican, even if you don't really know who your state senator is. Oh, that's the Democrat, I'll vote for that person. So turnout is going to be tremendously important for determining what kind of majority O'Brien has in the next session.
Or if he has a majority.
If he has a majority at all, right? I mean, he may very well have a majority, but it probably won't be 3-1.
Yeah. And one argument that Maggie Hassan may make is, again, you're already hearing, it's rare to hear gubernatorial candidates talking about the legislature as much as these two candidates are probably going to have to do over the next 8 weeks. I mean, Maggie Hassan wants to talk about the Republican legislature. Ovid Lamonte may have to talk about the Republican legislature. And that's a testament to Speaker O'Brien's success in getting things done on the Republican agenda over the last 2 years. But that also means he's become a lightning rod, and Ovid Lamonte is attached to that lightning rod. And he's going to have to kind of find a way and it's interesting how he talks about Governor Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, we need more leadership. On the other hand, Lamontagne says, I'll work with people, I'll listen to people across the aisle, just like Governor Lynch. So it's interesting that the Lynch plays both ways here. And again, Maggie Hassan's essentially running for John Lynch's fifth term.
Well, and gentlemen, I didn't want to ask our party chairs what their predictions were, because I think I knew what they were going to say. But what do you think, Dante? Can you predict whether the House or the Senate will change hands this time around?
I'm comfortable saying that if Republicans keep their majorities, they will be significantly narrower majorities than they are right now. I hesitate to say the House and the Senate will change hands simply because, I mean, we're talking about 3-1 majorities in both houses. That's a lot of seats to take back in a single election.
Sure.
It would take, I mean, I think at the top of the ticket, if Barack Obama ran away with this over the next 8 weeks, then maybe you would see that kind of sweep. I think it's more likely to see narrower majorities.
Yeah, it would have to be some sort of wave election back in the other direction to reverse those kinds of majorities. I do think because it's going to be close at the presidential level, that will probably trickle down to the state races, and you'll end up with probably closer majorities for Republicans. But to completely flip that in the other direction, it would have to be like an 06 or a 2010 style election in one direction or the other.
Yeah. Well, both of you have mentioned what happens at the presidential level and how it affects what voters do here in New Hampshire. What about, Dean Spiliotis, what campaigns do? We talked earlier about the presidential races sucking up the oxygen, sucking up the attention. But it kind of helps to be running in a swing state if you're running for governor or even state house, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of attention. As we mentioned, there's going to be a lot of outside money pouring into the state. I think that gets more and more every cycle, and I think it's going to be even greater this time. It's an opportunity for these candidates to be seen with the standard bearers of their national parties. You can bring in the big guns from outside of the state. Maybe we'll see Bill Clinton back in the state campaigning with Maggie Hassan again. Who knows? But it'll be an opportunity to for these state-level candidates to get higher visibility and attention by hooking up with the national candidates.
Yeah, I mean, Ovid Lamontagne's not going to complain about the results last night, that he basically cruised to a victory. But Maggie Hassan had the opportunity, because Jackie Sillie gave her a stiff challenge, Hassan's campaign had the opportunity to work hard when it counted, when there was something on the table where victory or defeat seemed to be in the offing. And so that it was a test run for them. And as Ray Buckley said, his mention about turnout being higher than Secretary Gardner's estimates is interesting. And kind of, again, it's one more piece of evidence about enthusiasm, Democratic versus Republican. So you like to have your, you know, you certainly like to win primaries easily. But it's nice that for Hassan that she has a victory under her belt and that she's seen her campaign work. That's got to give the candidates some confidence going forward for the next 8 weeks.
And it seems like, judging from our conversations last night, gentlemen, Dante, correct me if I'm wrong, that both Maggie Hassan and Ovid Lamontagne will have enough money to make it through.
I suspect so. Between outside money and so forth, I think both are going to have the money it takes to run a campaign. There's not going to be a question where Hassan's abandoned and left to the side. I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Dean Spiliotis, final thoughts from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a hard-fought campaign. I think it's going to mirror a lot of what we see at the presidential level, and there's going to be a lot of money coming in from the outside.
All right. Well, both of you, thank you very much again for your help with our election coverage last night and for being with us this morning. Dante Scala, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Dante Scala, Associate Professor of Political Science at UNH, Faculty Fellow at UNH's Carsey Institute. You can follow him on Twitter at GraniteProf. Dean Spiliotis, great to see you. Thanks again.
Sure, my pleasure, Laura.
Dean Spiliotis, Civic Scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University and author of the popular website nhpoliticalcapital.com. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Samantha Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.